You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Paddy to Bill, do you read me?
I'm trying.
Oh, there you go. We got you.
Getting it going here. What medium is this?
This is for radio.
Oh, okay. So we're only listening to each other, right? We're not watching each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Audio
no,
only.
I don't care. I was just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. I know, right? Keep it old school. I say, keep it analog, such as we can.
Just keep it analog, as we both have laptops. And
yeah, I know. Yeah. This is what counts for analog these days. This is the best we
can
do.
Yeah.
Good evening, Tamaki Makoto. You are listening to the Hard, Fast, and Heavy show. My name is Paddy Fox, and I am here with the one and only Bill Stevenson. Now, listener, you may know Bill as the drummer from Descendants, the best drummer Black Flag ever had, and of course, the drummer of all. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Thank you for making time for us. I do feel like I have to do a, what's it called, fact check? Black Flag's best drummer is Robo.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll add it to the pool. It's a crowded field. So, Bill, one thing that was quite surprising to me when I did a little background on you was that not only are you one of the greatest drummers ever to live, you're actually one of the primary songwriters of Descendants and also a producer. So, folks, I don't know what he can't do, but Bill, what can't you do? What's something you can't do?
I think my sprinting days are behind me. I've never been good at dancing. I've lost every single physical fight I've ever been in. Shall I go on?
Yeah. Why not? I'm bad at all those things too.
Let's see. I can't play the piano very well. Nor the violin. I can play a lot of other instruments, but I can't play those two. I can't speak German or Russian. I can't speak Greek. Is that enough things I can't do?
Yeah. That's a pretty good list.
It's kind of like I can do three things, and then that's all the things I can do.
You're pretty specialized. But what I did want to ask about songwriting was that how does that actually work from your perspective behind the kit?
Oh, well, it because it isn't behind the kit. I had the interesting circumstance where I got my drum set, and during like the same couple of month period, my mother gave me an acoustic guitar that had belonged to her father, you know, so my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And then in that same really small time window, I was taking my trash out to the curb, you know, because it was trash day. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my neighbor's trash can was already out on the curb, and there was an instrument sticking out of it. So I went over and I pulled this instrument out of their trash, and it was a bass, and it was like a semi-hollow body bass. So you could hear it even if you didn't have it plugged in. Damn. And so I had the acoustic guitar, which you can hear without an amp. And then I had this hollow body bass, which you can hear without an amp, and I have my drum set. So I kind of learned how to do all of those things and kind of how to sing all at the same time. It was all kind of part of the just playing music for me. And so I learned all of it at the same time. And I kind of got equally good at all of them for, I'd say, maybe 10 years. I got equally good at all of them. And like, in fact, my very first song, which is the first song on Milo Goes to College, it's called Myage. I wrote that on bass guitar. And, you know, and Bikage too, I wrote the main like hook of that song.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote that on the bass too. Yeah, but then I wrote some of my songs on ukulele. I wrote Clean Sheets on ukulele.
No kidding.
Yeah, so you never know. Milo always carries around a ukulele too, just because they're small. You can bring them on tour and without it like ruining your life. I mean, you can just have it in your hotel, or you could have it in your bunk in the van or bus. Yeah. So I've always kind of played everything. So when I do demos, it's me playing drums, bass, guitar, and singing everything. It's like, here you go. Here's a finished song. But most of my guys are that way. Stefan can play any instrument you hand him. Carl can play guitar and bass very well, and he can sing very well. He's pretty limited on the drums. Milo can play anything he puts his mind to. So yeah, that's kind of how we do it. We all contribute songs. We're kind of, you'll notice on our albums, you'll see songs that are written by each guy or even some combination of guys that we you know, we've always been that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to catch you last time you were down in New Zealand about 3 years ago. And I got to say, I was just completely blown away by just the skill on display. I mean, you've been playing as a band for what's nearly 50 years at this point.
We started in 1978.
Right on the ground floor. And let's just say there were a lot of other bands that started around that era that are still doing it, but they're not doing it like you guys are doing it, that's for sure. So my question is, what's your secret? And please don't say sobriety, because I know how much caffeine you guys drink, and I don't think that should count.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, you mentioned some of those older bands that maybe they're not doing it as well as they used to, but you got to have a little sympathy for them. It's quite difficult to do things that you did as a teenager when you're a 60-year-old man. I mean, I'm 62 years old. And so what the secret is that there's no secret. It's just a lot of work. Mm. We've always been a band that practices, you know, 5 days a week type thing. And I find that the older I get, like, I even have to practice more than that. And also the older I get, I have to become, or I have become, very disciplined with my nutrition and my exercise. Mm. I had a health scare, you know, about 15 years ago that kind of set me back a little bit. I had a brain tumor. Mm. But for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, I've been very, very dedicated to my exercise regimen and my nutrition, discipline with nutrition. So I'm the kind of guy, I could just take down 5 hamburgers, no problem at all. I'm prone to overeating. I just am. So I kind of have to just set like boundaries for myself. And with the exercising, I do 3 days a week of resistance training. So that's mostly weightlifting. And then I do a couple other days of cardiovascular work, that in any number of things, just to get the heart rate up for about an hour. I've done this since I was 19 years old. I do 20 full minutes of yoga each day. I mean, I don't do it in the formal sense of the practice. It's really just a ton of stretching. Ton of really good stretching. And so I those are all the things I do. But then the maybe the one secret that I don't think is a secret anymore is that, let's say, with each decade older I get, just add 2 espresso to the equation, like for the pre-show ritual. So what people will see is me up behind my drums after having had maybe 10 espresso, maybe 12, that wow. kind of thing.
That's
sometimes I can't choke down that many. So I, you know, sometimes I'll take a little bit of a caffeine, you know, a few hundred milligrams of caffeine, just, you know, in a capsule form. Mm. But I've never really gone beyond that. You know, I've never messed with like speed or, you know, meth or any of those things. That seemed like a bridge too far. And with my compulsive behavior, I know that I would love that. And then I would be addicted to it. You know, so I just keep it to caffeine.
That's the right one to keep it to, I think.
We practice like slaves. We practice like we're in the army. That's the stuff. It's just, it's a ton of hard work is what it is. And unless you want to be one of these old bands that just, you know, they really shouldn't be up on stage, you know, like if we ever get to that point where it's like, oh God, what happened to these guys? I'll quit the first time somebody said that about, you know, I'm trying to play better now than I ever have. I quit. What do you think?
I wanted to be like Mick Jagger or something. Well, that's just it, I think. And, like, I'm very impressed by all your dedication to the craft you do. It feels like it really embodies your philosophy of all. Could you enlighten our listeners on what that concept really means?
All? No, all! It's quite simple, while at the same time being all-encompassing. All is the total extent, it is the utmost possible, where nothing else remains. It's really just a funny way of representing the idea of, you know, getting stuff done, you know, creating something, doing something awesome, you know, not settling. Thou shalt not allow anything to deter you in your quest for all. Tell me, good people, who is the fellow hero? You know, most of the people I know that are my age, they're just, they've kind of given up on life. They just want to sit in their chair and watch their rom-com or whatever it is they want to do. But I still have that kind of that craving. And so, yeah, I try to go at things pretty hard, whatever it might be, songwriting or drumming, or I feel like you kind of got to go at it hard, or you'll lose the ability to that thing your grandma used to say, use it or lose it. Mm. It's like, it's actually, you come to find out it's true. And so I'll talk to someone I haven't talked to in a while, and like, well, what are you up to, Bill? And I go, oh, I'm training. And they go, well, what are you training for? And I say, I'm training to be 100 years old. I'm doing the centenarian Olympics training. just to be 100. Yeah.
Well, this is reminding me of a song off a little album called Everything Sucks, which I believe is coming up on its 30th anniversary. But the song that specifically comes to mind is When I Get Old. So that would have been about nearly 30 years ago. Any follow-up thoughts in the intervening time?
Well, let's see. I mean, I think of what are those things that I said, will I still do all of those things? And I think I'm still doing most of them.
Sleep on the floor?
Sure. It's good for your back. It's really good for your back if you can lay on your back and sleep on the floor. It's one of the best things. You might not like it at first, but it's really awesome for your back.
Really?
Yeah, no, all the stuff, grabbing the girl's ass and hating the cops and all that. I haven't really mellowed much with age. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think of are those let's just call them, you know, Ramones guitars, like that kind of guitar that just rip your face off guitar.
Yeah,
that's what wakes me up in the morning. That's what I live for. I don't know if that'll change when I get older. I mean, what is older? It's I kind of postpone it. Like when I was 15, I thought 25 was old, you know.
Yeah.
When I was 20, I thought 30 was old. When I was 30, I thought 40 was old. But now I'm 62, and I don't think anything's old. It's just, you know, old is as old does. And if you keep kicking ass, then, you know, you can stave off a lot of that stuff. You know, you can stave off being, you know, having limited mobility. You can stave off cognitive decline to some degree by doing certain things, you know, stimulating your proprioception, and kind of do things where you have to think on your feet and act on your feet. Even this might sound kind of corny, but I mean, it's just something I've been studying a lot for the last 3 or 4 years. Even something like ping pong. Okay, ping pong, if you play ping pong like every day, that'll keep your brain sharp, because like if your brain's not alert, you can't play ping pong. The other person will just destroy you. Mm-hmm. Or going on hikes, where it's different than going on a walk, because on a walk you already know the sidewalk's just going to be there, so you don't have to put any mental effort into it. But when you go on a hike, you kind of have to plan each step out, or you might turn your ankle, you might hurt your knee. And so that doing any kind of shit like that, it helps stave off cognitive decline. And I'm just, you know, I feel I'm still young at heart. And so I want to try to still be young of mind and of body. So I'm doing everything I can. I did have that big setback about 15 years ago when I had that brain tumor, but no, I'm doing very well. I'm happy. And the guys are too. Like Milo goes, he brings his fold up bike on tour and he goes on these long bike rides.
Nice.
And Stefan and I, we go to the gym, like 4 or 5 days a week when we're on tour. Yeah. So I like it. I like to keep going. I'm not ready to give up yet.
Well, I think when it comes to being young at heart, Descendants kind of nail it, maybe more than most, but also, especially in your more recent stuff, you've been incorporating like a real emotional vulnerability and maturity into your songs. Something like One More Day comes to mind. Tomorrow puts you in the ground. Then there's nothing I can ever do to have one more day like yesterday. I feel like Everything Sucks was kind of a start of a new era for Descendants, like sonically, but also songwriting style, where like, yes, it still has a lot of that youthful, like adolescent style energy and humor, but the band was developing into something quite new and something quite incredible, which it remains to this day. How do you sort of view that album in the big picture of Descendants?
Well, I think it's funny that Andy Wallace mixed that record and he kind of made us sound like tougher than we are, kind of more kick-ass than we are, like not so nerdy. The guitar is really forward on that record, you know,
yeah.
but I do think some of the stuff you're talking about, it didn't just pop into place on Everything Sucks. This was stuff. If you go back to the blue record, you know, Descendants All, that's got all manner of crazy stuff on it.
Mm.
And as far as some of the vulnerability you're talking about, I mean, you know, Clean Sheets is on there and the pep talk and Impressions. But then also like some of the All albums, which were done, you know, before Everything Sucks, like Alroy's Revenge, that's got a lot of those more, I'm not going to say mature thoughts, but whatever you want to call it, the stuff you were referring to. Everything Sucks is, it's almost like that's us kind of like without doing it intentionally, because we don't ever have an agenda or like a plan, a direction. We just kind of get in the room and everyone shows each other their songs and we play them. But that one, the way it came out, it's just kind of us like really playing to our strong suit. It's just us kind of really firing on all cylinders. That's in that kind of what I call the golden age of Carl's songwriting. Carl really, really started writing great songs, like starting on the All Pummel album, that's the album we did right before the Descendants Everything Sucks album. And then so on Pummel, Everything Sucks, and then the two All albums after that, Mass Nerder and Problematic, man, Carl just, he wrote like 20 of the best songs ever. And it's really good too, because that was a period where I wasn't writing as many good songs. And so Carl was just handling it. So many good ones. I'm the One, and Thank You.
It's been coming up on a decade since your last full studio album, though. You know, I got to ask, what's on the horizon as far as that goes?
Yeah, we have about 20 songs recorded already. We're looking to get maybe 8 or 10 more recorded, and then we'll kind of select from those, and then we'll have an album. Yeah,
nice. And I also really enjoyed you revisiting some of your earlier stuff on Ninth and Walnut. What made you want to go back right to the very beginning and give it another go?
Well, it kind of ties into Everything Sucks a little bit, because so when we were doing Everything Sucks, we thought it would be fun to have Tony and Frank. You know, those are the original guitar and bass player. To have Tony and Frank play on a couple songs. And so if you'll notice, like the song Doghouse, Frank wrote that song and, you know, he's playing the guitar on it and Tony's playing the bass on that one song. And then also on Eunuch Boy, those are Milo's lyrics, but that's Tony's music. And Tony's playing the bass on that song and Frank's playing the guitar. And so anyway, when Tony and Frank were out here at the Blasting Room with me, Tony, you know, we were hanging out and they were having fun. And Tony just said, hey, why didn't we ever record like all of our original songs, like our first songs? We kind of just pushed them aside and wrote new ones. you know, but a lot, some of them were really cool. And we decided, hey, let's record those. Let's record all our old first songs. And so we ended up doing it a few years later. We recorded it in 2002, the music for it. We just did it live, like the same way Milo Goes to College is. Milo Goes to College was just live. There weren't overdubs. And there's a couple tiny overdubs, but not, you know, it's mainly just us playing the songs. And that's how we did Night the Walnut. And it sure was a walk down memory lane because, I mean, some of those songs they're the first songs I ever played with a human being on drums. Like, well, I want to say like Crepe Suzette, Like the Way I Know, Grudge, Lullaby. Those were like our first five songs ever. And I think I wonder if people believe that, you know, because I don't trust when movie people do like a prequel. I don't trust it. I think they're just trying to make money. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have my word. Those songs on Night of Walnut, those were our first songs that we ever played.
Bell, we've almost come to the end of our time today, but I do have one really important question for you before we go. Are you going to get to go fly fishing when you're in New Zealand this time?
I mean, if the opportunity were to present itself, if I had time, I would like to go. I'm not a great fly fisherman, but I'm okay at it. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll be able to sort something out.
I would love to. I love fishing. I don't go as much as I used to, but I do love it. I try to get my way up to Alaska. My buddy has boats up there, and he's kind of a fishing guide. Mm-hmm. And I go out on his boat, and we just come back. Like me and my son, we came back with 200 pounds of fillets. So that's not just fish, that's just fillets, 200 pounds of fillets, salmon, halibut, all that stuff. Yeah, I like it too. I like it because I'd rather eat meat that I caught or something than, you know, like the corporate meat is just so bad now. It's filthy, filthy dirty.
Doesn't even
at least here. I don't know what it's like there, but it's gross. So gross here.
We're getting
it. I'm too squeamish to hunt. You know, I like the idea of hunting because I know that the animal hasn't been given a bunch of steroids or just tortured, lived in a 2-foot square area where they can't even move. And they pump them full of all those gross stuff. But I can't bring myself to hunt. I just don't have the gut to do it.
To be honest, me neither. But I do like the saying about fishing. There's nothing more humbling than going toe-to-toe with Earth's dumbest creatures and losing anyway most of the time.
You know, if you use light enough tackle, even a tiny fish will give you a run for your money.
Hey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Bill. Descendants, of course, playing at the Power Station on Wednesday, June the 17th. You can get your tickets from SBM Presents or the Descendants website. 30 years of Everything Sucks. Bill Stevenson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. We really appreciate it.
Can't wait for the show. See you there.
Okay, see ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.